Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another edition of I Won't Stop Until I Win. I am your host, Jose Flores, and each week I'll be sharing inspiring stories of people who push through the pain, who overcome adversity, and who keep on running their race to become the winners they are today. So thank you for spending some time with me, and let's jump right into the show. Hey, what's going on, family? Thanks again for hanging out with me for another week of I Won't Stop Until I Win. And like always, before I jump on every podcast, I always like to take a few moments to give God some thanks, because I believe that without him, none of this will be possible. So I just pray that somebody out there that's listening is encouraged, inspired, and motivated to not only learn more and do more, but to become more. And I pray that in Jesus' name. So thanks again, guys, for hanging out with me. And listen, you already know, every time I bring a guest onto the show, it's nothing less than fire. Encouraging, amazing people that I bring onto the show. And today is no less, ladies and gentlemen. Today we have a serial entrepreneur, founder of Fans Plan, and we're going to get into that, but it's a subscription-based social media networking site for real influencers and real people. That's right, no bots, baby. And he's also the host of the Students of Success podcast, which I actually had the honor of being a guest on as well. He's doing amazing things. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me in welcoming to the show, Jack Lee Matthews. What's going on, family? How you doing today?
Jose, thank you so much for your introduction. Thank you for having me on the show. And we're doing great, man.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
And I love your prayer too, man. That was like such an awesome like way to like get it going. Like, I'm like, wow, like maybe I should do that on my podcast.
Yeah, man. You know, I kind of struggled with that when I first decided I wanted to do that. But I heard, I don't know if you know who Joel Marion is.
I don't know who Joel Marion is.
He's a big influencer as well. He actually spoke at Driven and a couple other big.
Maybe I do know him then.
Multi-millionaire dude. Yeah.
Maybe the name just not familiar.
But I heard his podcast one time, and I heard that he actually opened up praying like with his guests. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do that, but I can definitely open up in some type of prayer and just giving God thanks, man. So I appreciate you for recognizing that, man. It's just one of my things that I love to do, man. But yeah, man, thanks for coming on to the show, man. I know you have an amazing story and you're doing some amazing things, man. We spoke a little bit before we actually started recording. But I want you to share a little bit, man, because I know that a lot of times people look at people like us and they're like, oh man, these guys are successful. These guys are doing some amazing things. They're making moves. But they don't know like the behind the scenes stuff that we have to deal with, like the personal life stuff. Like, I want you to pull the curtains back a little bit just to give people as much as you're comfortable with, just bringing them into the back behind the scenes of some of the things that you've been through and the mindset that you had and how you've been able to overcome those struggles and those adversities in your life. Because you shared with me some powerful stuff, like I said before. So I want you to share with the audience how you were able to overcome that, what your mindset was like, and how you just became this powerful dude and, you know, opening, starting businesses and helping people out and things like that.
Awesome. Well, great question, number one. But you know, if you would have met me 10 years ago, Jose, I lived in my mom's basement. And I drove a 1997 Honda Civic. Every time you started it up, it sounded like a weed eater. Every night I went to sleep, insulation would literally fall on my head. And, you know, I come from very humble beginnings. I have a big family, so I always got kind of the short end of the stick. They said, hey, we're going to put you in the basement. And because I was the oldest boy, right? So they said, you're going in the basement. And so you know what? The basement really, it gave me a lot of purpose in my life, right? Like, I think for me, you know, like my whole story is like, you know, I grew up in the basement. I grew up in this very small town in North Carolina, literally has one stoplight, you know, population about 3,000 people. You blink, you miss it. It's called Tyro, North Carolina. And for me, you know, growing up, I always knew that I was different. You know, my parents, unfortunately, they split up when I was 5 years old. My dad lived about 20 minutes across town. And my mom, you know, she struggled to make ends meet. And my dad had a good job, but we really were like a really like dysfunctional group of people. And for me, I always knew that there was something different about me. You know, even whenever at a very young age, like when I would go to church, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I would be like the sharpest dressed 7, 8 year old you in the whole church. And I just carried myself in a way that I just believed that, man, like there was something special about me, even at that time in my life, even when the world maybe didn't see my greatness or didn't say, hey, like, we're going to give you permission to do this. I think for me in my life, the biggest thing that made the biggest difference for me was getting out of my comfort zone. You know, I grew up in that small town. And then when I was about 19 years old, I invested about $1,000 into myself and to go to a motivational conference out in Salt Lake City, Utah. And I was going to go see Eric Thomas. And this is before Eric Thomas was even the Eric Thomas that he is today. And this is 10 years ago. And so when I get to this motivational conference, you know, I had never even been on a plane before, more or less. You know, anytime I had ever traveled before was by car. When I got on this plane, I said, and I went to Salt Lake City and I said, man, the world is just, it's a playground. It's big. Let me get out here and make something happen of it. And I went back, you know, after the motivational conference, I went back to my hometown and I just saw everybody there just settling in their setback and settling in their misery and settling in whatever the story was that they were telling themselves. And I find that that's the truth about it, is that life is the story that we tell ourselves.
That's right.
It doesn't actually matter what's happened to us in our life. What matters is, what do we tell ourselves about what's happening?
That's right.
And so for me, you know, coming from, you know, a split family, broke, busted in every way that you could ever be broken, I think for me was, I realized, like I said, that there was always something inside of me.
And that wouldn't allow me. Let me ask you this question. What was it that you were telling yourself that you knew it was time for you to step outside of your comfort zone and invest that $1,000 in yourself?
Well, I'll be honest. Since I'm going to be transparent, I'll be transparent. I had a bunch of bad friends and I had gotten arrested just because I had basically hung out with the wrong people. And my name was getting like drugged through the mud. Like they were like, you know, you're guilty of this. And I'm like, no, like that's not me at all. You guys got the wrong guy. And when that happened, I said, I really had to take a look at who I was allowing around me. And I think, you know, so many people, they say, you know, if you run with dogs, you get fleas. And I had a bad case of the fleas. And I said, man, like, I got to get out of this situation, because it was just, for me, I was innocent. And then, you know, when it came out that I was innocent and all those things, but it was just after the fact, you know, 6 months had went on in this court case. And when I was going through all those things, and that's when I invested in myself, flew, all that stuff, whenever it was over. And it was like, okay, this is over, back to reality, basically. And something inside of me said, like, dude, I got to get out of this town. I got to get out of my comfort zone, because if I stay here, well, heck, they've already blamed me for things that I didn't do. And I said, if I stay here, it's only going to get worse. And so I said, let me just go. And I told my mom, I get back home from the Salt Lake City, Utah. And I tell my mom on a Monday, I drive to her work. I'm fired up because I've been around a bunch of successful people. And then I go and I tell it to my mom, and you know, your mom, she loves you, right? Like, she doesn't want you to hurt yourself. So, you know, I told it to somebody that in a way they were like, you know, don't do that, right? Because I said, mom, I'm going to move to LA. And I said, I'm going to move there Friday.
Oh, wow.
And she's like, you know, here's her son, you know, who's just, you know, my whole life has been a battle, right? And she's like, oh Lord, like this, he's about to just like, what is he doing? Right? Like, and at that time, Jose, I had a decent job. I was getting paid $15 an hour. In North Carolina, in that small town, like that's a great job. And so like, I basically, when I threw that away, everybody's looking at me like, man, this guy is insane. And when I left, everybody in my hometown, that was my friends, they all started taking bets on me. They said, okay, he'll be back in 6 months. No, he'll be back in a year. No, he'll be back in a week, right? Like, they were just like, there's no way he's going to go out there and make it. And when I got out there to LA and I got out of my comfort zone, I said, okay, now I'm out of my comfort zone. It's either sink or swim, right? Like, I'm here now. And
burn the boats.
And again, kind of going back to when I was a kid, right? Like, when I would be dressed up in that suit and tie. When I was 8 years old, I remember my preacher at church, Jimmy Green, he told me, he said, one day you can either be a preacher or you can be a car salesman. He said, because you've got the gift of gab and you can never met a stranger, Jack. And that's what he told me. And I said, and that always, you know, 8 years old, you know, and then I fast forward, I'm 19 years old. I said, and I'm in LA and I'm out of my comfort zone. And I just hear his words come back to me. And he said, you could be a car salesman or you could be a preacher. And I was like, well, I'm not ready to be a preacher. I'm 19 years old. And I said, you know what, let me be a car salesman. And so that's what I did. I literally went and got a job at a Toyota dealership. And I worked there for 7 months. I was the first one there, the last one to leave. Every day when I would leave the dealership, I actually still in my closet, I still have the jacket. It was like one of these gray sports blazers that I would wear. But when I would leave, I would have just enormous, the most unattractive sweat stains that you've ever seen in your life. But I was hungry. I was like, man, like I would be there all day sweating my yin yang off in the California heat at that. But I was a new car salesman, right? Like they call him a green pea. And so I wasn't the best. And I had never sold cars in my life, you know, but people said, oh, you could do this. But then when you're doing it, you're like, what am I going to do? Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm my I get they call him like the pit boss, the guy behind the glass that you take the deal to. well, I had striked out a few times. And this guy, he said, you know what, like, why don't you go tell him a story? And just, you know, it was a young cat that came in on a truck. He said, why don't you just tell him a story about this truck and see if you can sell it? I said, he said, stories sell. And I said, oh, stories sell. Huh, let me go tell him a story. So I go out there and I said, hey, man, we just took this. And I knew a little bit about the truck. So I said, hey, man, like, we took this truck in on trade. You know, a lady took it in. I said, I think she parked it in her garage. Like, I just, you know, started adding to the story. And the guy bought the truck. And I said, wait a second, like, the guy actually bought the truck. They cut my tie that day. And then I ended up working there for 7 months hard, you know, busting my yin yang every day. But I wasn't really making any money. And living in LA, I mean, it's a very expensive place to live. And so I'm like, man, like, I've got to make something. You know, like, those people that said I wasn't going to make it for 6 months, like, are they right? Or am I like, am I going to make it? Right? It's like, I started second guessing myself. And well, then one day, luckily, through a fortunate elevator meeting, and I tell people as well, you know, you never know who's watching you, you know. That's so right. One day I'm in the elevator and I see this guy, he's dressed just like me, suit and tie. And I can tell that like I said, I had the sweat stains. I'm drenched in sweat. I'm not having a good time. But this cat, I could tell he's wearing a Gucci suit. He's, you know, got the nice tie, the tie tack, everything. He's just a sharp guy. I'm like, what do you do? He said, oh, I'm a finance manager at Porsche. I said, oh, you are. I said, did we just become best friends? And, you know, he kind of laughed and stuff. And I said, you know, I just started telling him my story. Cause again, I've never met a stranger, right? So I started telling him my story. I said, listen, I'm out here, I'm sinking or swimming, buddy, and you got to help me. And so he, by the grace of God, he got me an interview. And he says, up to you to sell yourself. I said, say no more. I will sell myself. So I go in there. 3 interviews later, they hire me. Well, then I'm selling $200,000 cars. Now I've just made the game even harder on myself. And so I'm like, man, like, I'm not even a good car salesman. I'm like, man, I'm not even a good car salesman. I barely made ends meet at Toyota. Now I'm over here at Porsche. And now I'm either really going to sink or I'm really going to swim. And when I was there, that's when I started using the internet. You know, I was looking around. One day I was looking around at my dealership, and for whatever reason, when I first came to the dealership, it was just a lot of older cats there. And they was like all looking around, and they, you know, they're all doing the same thing that they've always been doing. They're just waiting on somebody to come in the door and they're going to sell them a car, and it's a Porsche and it's going to sell itself. But with me, like, again, I was hungry. You know, I'm out here trying to just live my dream. I'm trying to also help my family back in North Carolina. Like, there's a lot of like dynamics to my situation. So I said, you know what? Like, let me
ask you this question real quick. When you were out in LA, were you by yourself still at that time?
I was by myself, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I didn't know a soul, you know? So literally I didn't know a soul. And other than the people that I had met in the car business, and then I'd meet people in my building, and then I had a couple friends, but not really.
So where were you living?
I was living in downtown LA.
But you had like your own place, or were you roommate?
Yeah, I had my own place. I had my own place, and it was literally taking all of my paycheck to pay for that place. And so I had no extra money. And actually, like, to even prove my point that I had no extra money, I was driving a Toyota, and I couldn't even afford to pay. I had to make a decision. Am I going to pay for my rent, or am I going to pay for my car? And unfortunately, my Toyota truck even got repoed at a time. And so when this happened, and now I'm just being very vulnerable now, when this happened.
No, but I love that, because that's the type of stuff that most people don't share. Most people don't talk about. And
that's me. I mean, I tell people all the time, you know, my life has been one battle after the next. You know, I tell people that there's two rules to success: start and don't quit. And that's the truth. It's like, it sounds cliche, but it's like so true. And so for me, you know, when fast forward, I'm at the Porsche dealership. I want to sell these expensive, you know, $200,000 cars. I started leveraging the internet and Jose, and that really changed my life. And within literally 2 weeks of being at Porsche, I became one of the youngest brand ambassadors in North America.
Oh, wow.
And the way that I was able to do that, though, is I was able to leverage Facebook, Instagram at a time before anybody was really leveraging Facebook, any time before people were really leveraging Instagram. And so I was really ahead of the curve there. My boss one day comes to me, he says, hey, like, you got a gift here, son. Like, you've been working here for a while. Let me show you how much you've made us. He pulls out this sheet, and it's like $24 million. That I've made Porsche in the past 2 years. And I'm like, dude, you see what I barely made. Like, I didn't even make, like, yeah, I had a lot of good access, and like, yeah, people thought it was cool. Like, and I did, I had amazing access. Like, they would let me take the cars off the lot, go take pictures for my Instagram, for my Facebook, for the ads, all that stuff. But I was like, dude, like, there's gotta be something more here. Right.
Yeah.
One day my boss comes to me, and kind of like you said, there was somebody that spoke something into me before I saw it myself. And he said, hey, Jack, you're like really good at this marketing thing. And I said, you think so? And he said, yeah. He said, do I think so? Look. And he showed me the list and he showed me the cars that I'd sold. And I'm like, wow, like I kind of lost count, right? Like, you know, I'm just there living my day-to-day life. I'm not really like, I didn't really have a goal. I didn't really have a plan. I'm just trying to survive. So I just was working as hard as I could. I wasn't really looking up. I was just working. Well, he says, like, I think you should start a marketing agency. And I said, you think so? And I said, long story short, I started this marketing agency and I started this marketing agency called Go Exclusive Marketing. And because I knew there was power in exclusivity, there was power in, if you have a message, if you have a brand, take that brand and put marketing behind it. And well, my whole thing as well, like I'm a Leo, I'm big in relationships. We spoke to this as well on my podcast. I'm a Leo. And one of the things that I started seeing when I owned my marketing agency, Jose, was that there was a lot of people out here that had a great message, that had a great brand, but they didn't have the marketing budget to pay me to help them. And I said, man, like, that's a shame. Like, I want to help those people. Why can't I help them? And so I guess after about 2.5 years of having this marketing agency and having success, multiple six figures, but wasn't fulfilled, right? Wasn't fulfilled. Well, one day I say, you know what? I meet my girlfriend, and my girlfriend at the time, you know, she's kind of all over the place, and she's like, hey, like, you want to help me, you want to market for me? And I'm like, I'm more of like big clients. Like I had like a big jeweler in Miami, one of the biggest jewelers here in Miami, Heimoff Jewelers. They're paying me like $10,000 a month. And so I'm not really. Like, I'm not really trying to take on like smaller clients right now, but I want to help you. Well, Heimoff Jewelers, unfortunately, one day they said, you know what, Jack, we're going to go in a different direction. And I said, hey, that's fine, whatever. And we went in different directions. When that happened, actually, a blessing happened for me. My girlfriend, and she's still my girlfriend now, I'm going to marry her soon, but my girlfriend, she basically said, like, hey, you're very good at this marketing thing. Why don't you create like a platform where people can market without money out of pocket? And I said, like, is that even possible? Like, it sounds like a dream, right? And she says, like, I don't know, like, you should try to do it. Like, because we had also like saw with like Instagrams and like Facebook, this is like 2 years ago now. We had like saw with Facebooks and Instagrams even before the censorship started happening. We had sort of seen that, like, hey, like, if you kind of like speak something that they don't really agree with, like, they will kind of like limit your voice. Yeah. And because I was helping all kinds of different dynamics of people on the internet, I really saw that. And I said, you know what, this is kind of disturbing. And well, you know, long story short, we ended up launching fansplan.com. We had that idea. We literally built it out. We would have never thought, you know, like I said, if you would have told me 2.5 years ago that I would have my own social media marketing platform, social media platform, I would tell you, hey, you're crazy, right? But that just goes kind of a testament that, like, hey, if you put the work in and you're not afraid of the work, as well as like if you have a dream, right? Like, because I've also had a lot of people in my life that have kind of guided me, right? Like the guy back at Porsche, all of these different people, my girl. I've had people that just kind of like said, like, hey, like, you need to go for it. And so I think as well, like, one thing for me that I always try to teach people as well is like go for it. Like, you don't have, if you don't, you know, I can tell you this, if you don't do anything, ain't nothing going to change. That's but right. if you do something might actually give way for you.
Now, let me ask you this. What was your mindset like when your boss at Porsche told you to start that marketing agency and you already saw that you were starting to see some results from that? How was your mindset? Were you afraid to jump into your own thing or?
Yeah. So for me, well, growing up, my dad, you know, we didn't have the greatest relationship, but one of the things that my dad did instill in me is he used to have this mode. Every day when I would play sports, my dad would always tell me, no fear, no fear, no fear. And I don't know, I've just never really had any fear. So it's like when I go to do something, I just say, hey, you know what? Like, I'm just going to do it. Like, what's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is that I do fall flat on my face. I fail. It's okay. The good thing about me is that I've failed millions of times already, and I'm only 29 years old, and I'm going to fail a million more. And that's hopefully why I'll be able to really impact as many people as I can, because I'm not afraid of failure. I'm not afraid to actually be the person that, you know, in a quote unquote world is like, he's not afraid to make himself look stupid, right? Like, I think so many people in today's world, we spoke to this on my podcast. It's like, so many people that I see, Jose, in our generation, we're lacking courage. That's and if right. You have courage, one thing that I've kind of found out with my marketing agency is that when I started going for it, there really was no real competition. The only competition that there was me. Hey, are you going to get out of the bed at 8 o'clock in the morning, or are you going to get out of the bed at 6:45 in the morning? Like, to me, that was the only competition. It wasn't, my competition was never anybody else. And I think as well, if you can get to that point where you realize that you're in competition with absolutely nobody but yourself, the person staring back at you, and you can actually get like pissed off. You know, I'm also a big football fan. And Ray Lewis, one of the things that I took away from Ray Lewis is he said, you got to get pissed off for greatness. And I said, damn, like pissed off for greatness. Like, but I think that that's actually something like it has to be a burning desire inside of you that you have to know, like, hey, like I can do this. I can do this. Like these people that have done it before me, they're people just like me. You know, there's nothing special about them. The difference is with them is, like I said, they started and they didn't quit.
That's right. Now, let me ask you this. How were you able to, was it your dad telling you no fear, no fear, no fear, that you've always had this courage, or did you have to develop like additional?
Oh, you have to develop it. It's like one of those things that you have to just, it's every day I wake up, I have fear. Every day I wake up, I'm worried. Hey, am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to accomplish this? Is my dream too big? Have I bit off more than I can chew? Oh my gosh, I launched a social media platform. Did you just see what happened with Parler? They took them all the way down. Like all of these thoughts that go through my head on a daily basis, but that's because I'm human. And see, humans, we want to be certain. We want to be certain, but guess what? In life, there is no thing called certain. There's no certainties. There's no guarantees in life in anything.
So how have you been able to develop that courage then?
To fail, to know that it's failure's a part of it. Like, and to just to realize, you can't see it, but right here in my office, there's a picture right here and it says, it's like literally got a word failure 100 times. But in the one line, it says, it only takes one yes for success.
That's right.
And I used to take that same approach with my marketing agency as well, down to the platform, to everything I've ever done. Is realizing that you really are one breakthrough away from greatness. I preach this to the people that I coach, because you're one yes, you're one connection. Just like I was one elevator ride away from being a Toyota dealership salesman to a Porsche salesman. There's a big difference.
The power of the one.
The power of one. And I think people, especially in our world today, we tend to settle in our setback, get comfortable in our setback. We say, hey, this is what it is for me. And I think if you can open your eyes and take the blinders off and say, wait a second, everybody else in life is stuck too. It's okay. Everybody else in life has insecurities too. And they're all telling themselves they can't do it either. And I think if you give yourself that permission, and then as well, you take that mentality of, hey, it only takes one yes for success. You know, it's like the old analogy, the more hands you shake, the more money you make. You'll just get out here, you'll take more shots. Like Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan, one of the reasons why Michael Jordan was so good, he said that, dude, when nobody was watching, he was in the gym practicing. And so he was just taking shot after shot after shot when nobody was watching. And I think that is what a true testament of success is. For me, I know I'm a success before I ever became a success. You know, like it was something like in that repetition of, hey, I'm just going to go out here. Like when I first started the marketing agency, for example, and I didn't have any marketing clients, one of the things that I would always do to get clients, and the reason why people would pay me $10,000 a month, one of the biggest reasons why is because I would say, hey, pay me 30 days money back guarantee. I'll give me $1,000 or I'll give you your money back after 30 days if I don't do a good job. And always just putting myself up against that pressure and saying, hey, you know what? I can deliver. I think so many people as well, like they want to play it safe.
That goes back to believing in yourself.
Dude, you're one thing that I've realized about life is that this thing that is in your life is always going to happen is the story that you tell yourself. See, because it doesn't matter what you tell what you say about me. It absolutely has no bearing on my life. Actually, I want you to like me. I hope you like me, but it doesn't affect me at all.
That's right.
So it's like when you realize that the person that you're battling is the person staring back in the mirror, you give yourself the freedom to say, hey, you know what? Let's just go for it. Let's just go for it, because it's my life and it's the story that I tell myself. So why would I go ahead and grab on to somebody that, you know, so what, you told the dream to somebody that tried to kill your dream, you know, your family, your friends, right? Like, dude, your friends and your family, those are going to be the ones that they're going to tell you to, hey, be realistic, right? Honey, don't bite off more than you can chew.
Those are the worst dream killers.
Yeah, but they don't. But you know why? It's because they gave up on their dream a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they don't want you as well to get hurt. And I think as well as, like, you know, us as humans, like, unfortunately, we only learn by pain. And so most people only learn by pain or pleasure, but most people, they have to experience the pain to really ever get to the pleasure. And so it's like, for me, I try to help people, like, eliminate the pain, just take the pain out of it. And the way that you do that is to just realize that you're going to fail. like realize that instead of looking at failure as like some kind of end result, look at that as a step forward, actually in the right direction.
You know, I think that's a powerful statement, because once you understand that, you know, you're going to fall in life and you're going to fail, but you also have the capability of getting back up. That right there gives you that freedom to say, okay, hey, I'm gonna go, like you said, I'm gonna give this a shot. I'm gonna go all in and see what happens. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, then it's a learning lesson and I'll move on to the next. And I think there's so many people miss out on the life that they could have lived because they're afraid, right? But building up, like courage, we spoke about courage a lot on your show and my show. You know, courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the overcoming of it. So once you can understand that you can overcome fear, that's just like a temporary emotion, right? Oh, like, it, and then fear, people get fear confused with danger, right? Yeah. You know, there's a danger out there that we have to be afraid of, but that fear, that sense of fear that blocks us from living the life we want to live, that's the unhealthy fear. We got to get away from that and we got to demolish it.
Yeah, well, not only that, but, you know, one of the, people have probably heard it, right? Like fear, false evidence appearing real. It's not even real. And so most of the time, these things that we're attaching, you know, so much of our feelings to are not even real. And I think if you're going to question things, question how far you can go, question how big you can make it, question what kind of impact you can really have in this world. Stop questioning it in a way that is just, you know, destroying you, but instead do it in a way that builds you up.
Well, I think it goes back to what you said earlier, like, you know, we share our dreams with friends and family and people that we think are going to cheer us on, and they wind up shooting it down. And then we wind up believing what they're telling us, like, oh, you're not going to make it, or you're crazy, or you're insane. But once we, you know, we can remove the noise and block the noise and the distraction and really just say, hey, listen, you know what? Like you said, you're looking in the mirror and that person that's looking back at you, that's the only person that matters. That's the only person that you got to overcome. That's the only person you got to defeat. And when you make that decision, that's when you get to really, like you said, live free and live the life that you want to live.
Well, not only that, but it's like, you know, I have this analogy for lie. I think a lot of people lie to themselves. And what a lie is to me is a limited idea that we entertain. And it's like so many people I'm gonna say it one more time. It's a limited idea that we're entertaining. And it's like, you know, one of my OGs is Napoleon Hill. And Napoleon Hill, you know, he talks about the power of your subconscious mind. He talks about how your subconscious mind does not know the difference between a truth and a lie. It doesn't know the difference when I lived in my mom's basement, but I would be envisioning in my subconscious, hey, I'm living in the penthouse, right? Like, it didn't know the difference when I would say, I'll go get in that Honda Civic and start it up and blow the engine 3 times because I'm driving it like it's a Lamborghini. Because I'm, in my mind, I'm visualizing the Lamborghini.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the thing, is that you can lie to yourself. But if you're going to lie to yourself in a way that actually helps you instead of hurting you. I think so many people in our generation and in our world, in our current circumstances, people say, you know what, like, let's just pack it in. You know, it's too much. The seas are too rough. And guess what? This is called life. You know, I was talking to my girl about this. It's like, this is life. Life, you know, or actually it was my girl's daughter. Actually, it's like, you know, life is that's the way life is. Like, life is one of those things that it's like, it's never going to be fair. It's never going to be fair, but it's going to be about how are you going to react to it? Like, you're in control of everything, you know? And also one of my mentors as well, Jesse Esler. I don't know if you know who Jesse Esler is.
Yeah. That's,
Well, Jesse, one of the weekly calls that he did, he made a statement, and the statement really, I said, man, that's a powerful statement. He was talking about how if you go get in a boat, right, and we just adjust the rudder just a little bit, he said, you're going to end up in a completely different location.
That's right.
And so people are out here trying to make, you know, massive, you know, shifts in their paradigm. You don't have to. If you just make a subtle adjustment, maybe start talking to yourself a little bit more positive, say, hey, you know what, like, I can do this. I can. Maybe you don't think I can, self, but I also do that to myself as well. Like, I look myself in the mirror and I'm like, and I hear those demons, right? Like the demons that are like, you cannot do it, right? And I tell my, and I'll actually smile at my demons and I'll tell them, I'll say, like, thank you for being here. You know, like thank you for joining us. Because I think it's like, you can't allow that to stop you. You have to allow that to be the reason why you're going to go out here and make it happen.
Yeah. Now, you spoke about how you blew your transmission on your Honda Civic because you were driving it like a Lamborghini. So I just want to switch gears right now real quick, because I want you to talk to the audience about your platform, Fans Plan. Like, explain to them what it is, what's the benefit, what they can get out of it, how it can help them grow in their business and in their personal life as well.
I love it. Well, fansplan.com is a brand new social media platform that we launched this year. And basically what it's doing is it's giving back the power to the person. You know, I saw these social media, these big tech companies that, you know, the only way that you ever get a following is to pay them. And I thought, man, like what a bad business model for the customer. And I built a better business model. Honestly, that's what I did. For me, Fansplan, we don't make money until we help you make money. So with what we do is we help people. We basically have given people the tools, right? Like my whole thing is that I want people to understand that what day and age they're living in. This isn't the day and age that your grandparents grew up in. This isn't the day and age that even your parents grew up in. This is a new day and age. That's right. You know, we have this thing right here. It's called a cell phone. And the cell phone nowadays is the modern day hammer. And so if you realize that, and that's why I built this platform, Fansplan, because I want people to take back their power. Because here's what I understand, Jose. I understand this. Everybody has a message. You have a message. Everybody has a message. And everybody's been through something that they can take that message and they can actually monetize that message and turn it into a business, turn it into a course, turn it into some kind, even inspiration free. It doesn't always have to be monetary for monetary reasons. It's just, it's fun when it is, right? But yeah, it doesn't always have to be like that. For me as well, all of my businesses that I've ever set up, I've always set my businesses up in a way that they help people first, right? So, but going back to what Fansplan is, really what it is it's a social media platform. That's a subscription-based platform, yes. But it's a social media platform reimagined. You know, it's social media on steroids is what it is, because I looked at, you know, owning the marketing agency and things like that. I saw the huge need for the people that don't have the marketing budget. And with Fansplan, like when you make a post on Fansplan, everybody on Fansplan, they all see your post. So it's like free marketing as well. And so it's like, it allows people to have that. They can get to know you, right? They can get to know you. And then they can say, oh, you know what? I want to follow this person. I want to support this person. And we've implemented, you know, 5 different ways for people to get paid on the platform through subscriptions, like you spoke to. And a big reason behind that is because I read an article. There's a business article from Stanford Business School. And Stanford Business School wrote an article and they talked about how in the future, every business will be a subscription business model.
Yeah, that's right.
And so when I read that word, I said, every business, what do you mean? So I just believe that we're moving into a smaller economy. And a lot of people now, I'm going to say some things today that you're not going to hear anywhere else. But I really want you to open your mind to the possibilities of what I'm telling you is actually true. We're moving into a day and age where our economy is going to shrink a little bit. And everything is going to be more personal feel. And so really what you have to understand is you have to figure out, what are you an expert in? Because like I said, everybody's an expert in something. And you have knowledge that you can teach us. And so really what I want people to understand is that they can be a player in today's game. Like it used to be, you know, if your grandparents, your parents wanted to start a business, heck, even you start a business, you had to go out and risk everything.
Yeah.
But in today's world, in, you know, 2021, you have this thing called leverage that we talked about. You have an extremely amount of leverage to go for it, to say, hey, like the whole, everybody, you know, the TV's dying. The internet, everybody's on the internet all day long. And so if you realize that and you start taking advantage of the opportunity that's in front of you, right? And to realize and to just be a little bit, I tell people, the people that I coach, I say, listen, you got to be a little bit naive to believe that you can make 6 figures, $1 million online. But you just got to get out there and go for it.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what Fansplan is about. It's about helping people realize how powerful they really are. For example, think about Beyonce. Right? Beyonce is a huge artist. Beyonce has, like, I think it's like 20 million on Instagram. Imagine if Beyonce was getting a dollar, even 50 cents from her fans, and they were paying Beyonce for maybe like behind the scenes, you know, into Beyonce's life, into the album, into everything that she's doing. Because that's also another thing with Fansplan is the tagline you'll see behind me. It says, real people, real influence. I believe everybody has real influence. And I believe everybody is indeed a real person. But I think that a lot of people, they on social media specifically, most people, then they go to social media and they use it in a way that's not the correct way. And what I really would encourage anybody to use social media for is to use social media as like, hey, like this is a highlight reel. Like it you don't have to like I think so many people, they'll just use social media as like, you know, I tell people all the time, you can use it for business or you can use it for pleasure. And it's like, you have to really make that determination when you're running a business online. Like, hey, and you have to treat it like a business. Like just because it's online, you know, and it's easy to sit like to not work it, right? Like, no, you have to work it. You have to have a daily schedule. You have to check in. You have to promote, you know, post, prospect, whatever the case may be, whatever it is that you got to do, because what the internet is, my guy, is a funnel. It's a funnel. So if you realize that, you realize that, you know, you want to help people, right? You know that you want to help people, but you have all these people up here at the top that are like skeptical. And so with FansPlan, what I've done is people can come to FansPlan. They can follow you for, you can make it for free if you want. And then once they follow you like a normal social media platform, but then they say, you know what, like this guy, he's walking the walk, but he's talking the talk, but he's also walking the walk. And they say, I want to get a little bit closer to him. Cause again, proximity is power.
Yeah.
So if you can teach me something like we spoke to, you can help me skip levels, right? Like we said on my podcast, there is a lot of shortcuts out there. Mm-hmm. And mentors is a sure way to expedite your process.
That's right.
And so that's what FansPlan is about. It's about helping you, number one, grow a network, right? Your own network, but then turn around and monetize that network, but as well, helping other people get to know you better. You know, I think that was one thing that I saw on, you know, Facebook, Instagrams, was that there was people that wanted to grow their brands, but then they say, well, Jack, I don't have $1,000 to go into a marketing, you know, I don't have $1,000, Jack. And I think that's the thing is that with FansPlan, what you have to realize, what you do have today is you have an extremely amount of leverage. And so you have to, I'm writing a book on this, and I'll just kind of share this with you, with your audience. I'm writing a book right now, and it'll be out around Valentine's Day this year. And it'll be about this method that I've formulated called the 744 method. And what it is basically is like, because I've been blessed in my life, you know, like I kind of told you guys my whole life story. I mean, I had clients pay me $10,000 a month. But you guys, every month on the internet, I'm making anywhere from 30 to 50 to I've made as much as $80,000 on the internet a month.
Right. That's
the awesome. Way that this has happened is because I understand it's a numbers game. Being online is a numbers game. And so what you have to understand is where I always went wrong and where most people go wrong is they'll come to me, and I coach a lot of people. They'll say, Jack, I want you to help me make $30,000 a month. And I'll say, okay, that's great. Instead of focusing on the $30,000, which is, you know, what most people do, right? They'll say, I want to make $1,000 a day or whatever. I tell people all the time, in order to make $30,000 in a month, there is 744 hours in a normal 31-day month. And it's no secret the internet never sleeps. So you have a lot of leverage. Now what you got to do is you got to take that 744, and how much money do you need to make an hour to make $30,000? And it's only $40 an hour. And so if you start focusing on the $40, and again, you might say, well, nobody's going to pay me $40, you know, every hour. Okay, but what about 8 people paying you $5? Have you thought about that? Because they will. Because this is internet. There's me and you both know there's millions and millions and millions on the, you know, on the internet. Yeah. And so you got to start taking advantage of the tool that is in front of you today, because it's a resource, right? And it's a free resource as well. Like I spoke to, the internet is very powerful. And who's to say that one day, you know, I've done a lot of research on the internet and where it's going. Who's to say that one day that the internet doesn't become really a utility where you have to pay serious money to get on the internet? So the fact that it's free right now, and again, you got to understand why it's free. The internet was created 8 days after I was born. It was created August 8th, 1991. And so realize this is a brand new tool. It's a baby. Get it, position yourself online. And just because maybe you failed in the past, maybe you've tried to do that in the past, put together a course, whatever it was, and it didn't work, dude, take another shot. Because this platform right here, FansPlan.com, has making it really easy for people, right, to really plug their content in, and then I can transact and buy your content, or I can transact and buy your coaching, or buy your services, or whatever you're offering.
I love it, man. I love it, man. Listen, what would you tell that one person that's out there? And then you've dropped a bunch of nuggets, valuable nuggets on today's show, but if there's somebody out there that's listening, because the name of the podcast is I Won't Stop Until I Win. We spoke about it on yours as well. But there's somebody out there that's listening that's still thinking after hearing your story and everything that you've gone through, that's still thinking, that's not possible for me because I come from a different environment. Or I come from a different culture, a different background, and that's not possible for me. What would you tell that person that may be feeling down and out and thinking that their dreams can't become a reality? What would you tell them to make sure that they keep going and don't stop until they win?
Well, I'll tell you this. You don't know how close your dream is to you. So your dream, you might think your dream is years away from you, but your dream, in fact, could be one more mile down the road. And so if you're going to quit right now, pack it in one more. What if you knew? And I think that's one thing for me is like, think about that every time you want to quit. Think about what if my dream is one more mile down the road? And so if you really have that approach and you hold that approach, I think you'd be surprised of like, you won't so much as focus on necessarily the destination either. You'll start to enjoy the journey. You know, I'm 29 years old and I'm really starting to, I'd say in the past like year, I've really started to enjoy my journey. And it actually makes me emotional because for so many years of my life, I squandered my time. I wasted my time. I hung out with wrong people. I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. But I realized that, like I said, you can't change your life overnight, but guess what you can do? You can turn the car around.
That's right. That's right. I love that, man. And it goes back to the power of the one. You said it could be one more mile down the road. It could be one more elevator ride like it did for you. It could be one more handshake. Right. Yeah. One more encounter, one more phone call.
That's what life is, man. Life is literally moment. Every moment is a new moment. Every day is a new day. You know, one of the best advices I ever got from my stepfather, he told me, he said, all you really have is today. And I think that is, there's power in that as well, is owning today.
That's
right. Focus on what you can control today and tomorrow will take care of itself. I think so many times, especially in the journey of being an entrepreneur, it's a very lonely journey sometimes. And I think sometimes we start to really second guess ourselves. But I think that if you can realize, if you can just take care of what you need to take care of today, take care of the process, take care of showing up with the best, you know, being the best version of yourself. I'm big in that as well. Showing up, being the best version of yourself. When you do that, you allow things to just open for you. You know, the Bible says your gifts will make room for you amongst great men. I believe that. I believe that literally there's a table prepared for you in front of all of your enemies, in front of all the people that downplayed all of your dreams, the people that said you'll never make it. And so that's why you also have to keep going, because when you get there and you stand on the podium and you just give your speech, you're going to be an example to all those people that didn't believe it even for you. You're going to inspire those folks and they're going to say, wait a second, like maybe I should go for my dream.
That's right. I love it, man. Listen, I appreciate you so much, Jack. Where can people, I know you said you got a book dropping next month, right? Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
You got the book dropping next month. Where can people find the book to get these marketing ideas and this help? Or where can they get to know more about Fans Plan or just get to know you and connect with you?
Yeah. So my whole thing is that I want to help people. And so I would be doing you a disservice if I sat here today and I said, hey, go to my Instagram, go to my Facebook, follow me. You know, no, I would encourage anybody that's listening to go to fansplan.com and to really, you know, be a part of our community. We have a community of people, of entrepreneurs, people that are inspiring each other and also finding their voice and becoming the best version of themselves. And I think that's where I would encourage anybody to go today, is to go to fansplan.com. We've spent a lot of resources, a lot of time. We have a great team. And also, you know, your feedback is important. You know, anything that you see on the site that you say, hey, like, could this be better? You know, we're over here. We want to learn from everybody. And I think that's the thing is, for me, I want to connect with everybody. So I would encourage anybody that's out there listening, go to FansPlan. You'll see me on there. I'm on there all the time and we'll connect. And then not only will we connect, I will be able to help you, walk you through and show you that, hey, you have leverage today. You know, my goal, you know, my BHAG in life is big, hairy, audacious goal, is I want to help 1 million people make $1,000 online. And $1,000 online, you guys, just like I said, with this 744 method that I'm coming out with in my book, that's only $1.35 that I need to help you make an hour. So do you believe in Jack that I can help you make $1.35 an hour? And the answer is, I hope so. So if it resonates with you, if it's something that you want to get behind, if it's something that, you know what, you've said, you know what, I do have a message, I do have a purpose, but I don't have the budget. FansPlan is the vehicle for you. And so that would be my message to people out there, is to really just take advantage of the resources, right? Before it becomes mainstream, right? Like, take advantage of the opportunity in the lifetime of the opportunity. You know, some of the opportunities in my life today are completely different than they were, you know, 2, 3, 5 years ago. And that happened because I positioned myself. So when, you know, when they blew up, I was positioned, right? Like with Bitcoin, right? Like, I bought Bitcoin super early. And because of that, now I'm reaping the benefits. And it's like, don't sit around until somebody else says, hey, you know what? That fans plan is really good. No, like there's a reason why you're on this podcast listening to this, to our voices today. Really start to take advantage of it and really start to tap in with Jose, tap in with me, tap in with people that want to only see you go higher as well. I think that's, if I could end it there, I would end it and say, tap in with people that only want to take you higher, people that want to see you succeed. Connect, you know, find, get around the campfire of people that have a burning desire to help people.
I love it, man. I love it, man. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Jack Lee Matthews live and in the flesh. Check him out, fansplan.com. And check him out on social media too. I know he said don't check him out, but listen, I'm saying check him out on social media as well. Jack Lee Matthews is his handle. Super cool dude. Jack, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for dropping so many gems. I appreciate you, my brother. We got to definitely do this again. And thank you so much, man.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you. Ladies and gentlemen, have an amazing week. And until next one, make sure that you don't stop until you win. Take care and God bless. Thanks everybody for tuning in to this episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win. Once again, I am your host, Jose Flores, and make sure you visit me at joseinspires.com where you'll see links to all my social media where I'm bringing content like this every single day on how you can win and keep on winning. We have new episodes dropping every week, so make sure you guys like, subscribe, and share with other winners so that everyone can keep up with what's going on. Once again, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode of I Won't Stop Until I Win.